December 16, 1980, Alexander, Maine. This is the Christmas copy of the Alexander Crawford Historical Society, which is concluding its charter membership on December 31st, 1980.
Our personal business today will be history of the future.
Okay, now the future. The loudest voice off gets on there. This is very sensitive. So you can just talk in your normal voice and be all right. But if anyone were to come in the door and yell, "Hello, Merry Christmas," you hear that rather than what we're saying.
It'll be good.
So, no
one
can
hear me too?
I don't know. That's very interesting. That will be a historic, the first historical chew we've recorded.
Where's my false teeth up?
Who's that, Flanny?
Frankie. Frank Ross.
Oh, that's Frank.
I was taking about the time he graduated from high school.
And he lives in town.
The one back of that's his father, and then his grandfather, and great-grandfather.
Yeah. Now, Wolfsey, we used to call him Wolfsey.
Yeah.
And Frank, he came from Massachusetts, New Hampshire. He originally came here, didn't he?
Frankie was born here, his father and all. He lived here from the time he was born until he went to high school, and then he moved into Calais, and he never did come back to Alexander to live.
No, but I mean, his father wasn't born here.
Oh, his father was born in Manchester, New Hampshire. But his mother died, Wilkes' mother died, when Wilkes was very young. And his father and the children came back to Alexander and stayed, well, up there where John Weeks is living now, was Harry Frost.
Yeah.
Because Frankie's grandfather and Harry were brothers, you know. And their mother was still living at that time, and they came back and lived there with them. That, that one right there, she's got in her left hand.
Name on the back. You run into so many of these old pictures, there's no name on them.
Oh, I got a whole bushel basket full of them at home that I don't know. But that one there that you had in your left hand, he was born in 1815.
1815?
Machias, Maine.
Where was the first Frost home in Alexander? That's the one in
Donald's
where it burned?
No. The first one that I know about was on that place, same place where Weeks lived.
Right. Oh, yeah, sorry.
But way back, almost to the back end of the lot, there's a log house. There's a
cellar hole back there.
Well, it's about the same distance from that cellar hole, back to the first building site, as it is from that cellar hole to where the house is now.
Now, was there a road back there, or why would they put it way back there?
I believe the original planners of the town planned on the road being back there. Old McPeter's house, that land that Joyce owned now, you know, that house there. Evidently, they planned on coming right straight down through it, because the old Stout House was way back, too.
Okay.
When they did do the road, why they see it off? No. Now, that's guesswork mostly on my part, but...
You had your house all planted in one spot, and had the road go off half a mile up the...
That's what seems strange about Breakneck, that they would build up there, fairly people.
But it's better than having the road go through your house.
Well, that's true.
At one time, was there a road that went, was traveled that went in from Breakneck? But that's how people felt that. Do you ever know?
There was no road down in the 15 years.
And there's a road now that goes, well, of course, it goes and discontinued almost, but from Cooper right into Breakneck.
Yeah, came right down over the hill and connected to the road over Sears Park.
Maybe it was good soil.
I really didn't know why those people picked any one particular place. Ananias Lehanan settled up there. There again, where Joyce owned that. That was the Ananias Lehanan property.
Yeah. Could it that has some gravestones, my mother's up there.
Could it possibly have been because the land was cleared by fire, maybe a natural fire?
Nothing in the old newspaper clippings, whatever that I have, that said anything about any fires.
Because they had to clear so much land, and they cleared that big field up there, which Carlton now uses for blueberries, but he said the stone pile was from the farmers who moved this by manual moving it over to pile up all those stones here so they could raise, what do you say, wheat, rye, was it wheat?
That place that Carlton owns, the blueberry land now, was at one time owned by Grace's uncle.
Oh, they were the first settlers there, weren't they?
Don't know. I wouldn't think so, no.
You don't think so? We should go over.
Oh, you mean on that place?
Mm.
I wouldn't know. They might have been.
The Cowell. The
Cowell might have been, yeah.
Have you ever heard of the McNally?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were settlers on Breakneck, too. Yeah. What do you know about the McNally? That name is different.
Well, I can tell you who some of the descendants are.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly you might remember him, George McNally, that was taught in Dallas at one time. You do, Jack. He was born there.
Oh, that's interesting. George McNally was born there. He was judged in Dallas.
Another one was May Brown, the wife of George Brown. Somebody that certainly you ought to remember is Ralph, who worked in the A&P store for years. Her son was...
Was he the manager?
No, he always worked behind the coffee counter. I don't know. When he first went to work for the A&P company, they had four stores in Calvis, I think. Didn't there? There was three, and I'm pretty sure there was four.
Really?
I think there were four that one.
But he worked in the one that was on Washington Street. And he could have been the manager there. I don't know. And then when they combined into the supermarket, why they took what the employees they could use or wanted to use, and... took him down there, and he, well, as long as they ground their own coffee right down in A&P, that's where he worked behind the coffee counter.
They call it the Great A&P Tea Company then, didn't they?
Well, still is, isn't it?
You remember the day that we were on Breakneck?
No, now I just say A&P.
We stopped at now this would be the second trip. David, Jack, and Jane. We stopped at a place where there was a foundation. We stopped at the place where we thought was the old school because the foundation was different than where the homes were. And then the last foundation that we looked at, Calvin didn't seem to know anything about it. Well, since then, somebody told me that was the old McNally place. Well, we have a name for it.
The McNally place ought to be on your 1887 Atlas, isn't it?
1887 Atlas. You
want to
look back and see if
we
have a McNulty in it?
Is it McNally or McNulty? Or are you talking about two separate names?
McNally.
There's a McNally Tavern in Ellsworth. Right in the old center of town. Probably same family. But I'm hearing you say McNulty also.
McNally.
Well, if you can believe Ananias Lehanan, the schoolhouse was at Burnt Barn Hill.
Oh, that would be not right on top of it.
According to Harold Dwelly, Burnt Barn Hill is that hill that you go up after you go by up in Elbridge's up through and go up over the hill and then you sit down over and then you come to that bog that's on your left there, you know. Well, if I understood Harold correctly to say that the foundation of where that schoolhouse was in on the side of the road there where Everdon, on Everett's property.
On Everett's side?
On Everett's side, on Everett's property, if I understood Harold correctly.
Did the foundation that we thought was the old school was just before we came to the road. Maybe you should look at this, Rich. I will.
Yeah, Jay McNally. Now, the question that you asked me about Carlo, but that was a McNally place.
The Carlo place wasn't
it was a
McNally
place,
place.
According to this
atlas.
Should I have
it marked?
Which came first?
If you go up from Elbridge's, top of the hill, turn right.
Well, I have
and go over just a little ways, you'll find a foundation.
See, right here. There's a foundation right
here. Yeah, that's it, right there.
Right there. Well, this is what I have, isn't it? Now, there was another foundation way over here, and a well over here where we saw that those boys suffocated.
Yes.
No, no. So we did. But there was this foundation here, and then there was another one over here, because we had this road. You remember this one, Ellen and Ellie, because we saw that one the day that we went up there together. Mm-hmm. But the time that Calvin went with us, he took us to these foundations, which we missed on the other trip. Now, where?
The next ones there. This is the Granger Estate.
I have that right.
That would be the Browns and Carters and Keynes, if I remember
right
correctly.
Mm-hmm. This is just one.
Now, wait a minute. Apparently, this. Yeah, I guess
these are the ones going in there. This map, this is interesting because it's just the same as I have here for the foundation.
That's good.
He was
right, wasn't
he? Yes. I took a copy of this when I got home, and the Granger Estate was where the Brown place was, and the
Brown, Keene,
Carter,
I'd say.
At one time we owned the Holy Place was in there too.
Well, evidently. This is 1881?
1881.
That's good.
I don't know what I close that up for.
You want me to open it? I'll leave it on the desk. You can see it over here better. I'm having a good drawing made up this day.
Oh, good.
Later. But I want to make sure it's correct first.
Why don't you get a copy of that sheet that she's got right there? And that'll be much better.
Yes, I will.
And I mean, I'm not
running
your drawings, but.
Well, Dr. Allen sent me the copy of that too.
See,
I
have
the
marked
here.
Yeah,
from the book. I have marked here the Brown place, see?
Mm-hmm.
And Frank owned that one time.
Yeah.
And then Wayne owned right across the road from there, the Foley place, mm-hmm. which was in the Granger Estate.
Hmm.
Now, what's that cute little book you have here?
Directory of Alexander, the year 1895.
Not wonderful. 1885.
How much were dress fabrics there? Are they priced? Oh, no, that's just the list of what they had. Muslin underwear.
Huh.
One or two of these have prices attached to them, I believe.
We probably like everything in that book, don't we?
Probably.
This thing. Oh, no. Chase statement of parsonage debt.
Oh,
yes. This was put out by the minister of the Methodist Church.
Can I give you a refill?
Does anybody want some plum pudding with hard sauce?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right now.
Speaking
of history, may I put some in your cup? Have you heard any records at all?
Have
you heard
he had
Springdale?
And he did
any
kind of
delegate
research
on it,
but he didn't bring any papers.
Oh.
But here are the questions. If there's
a family, the name is Spring. How many? I don't know.
Where is Spring Hill? Spring Hill is over.
No, from Doris is down through to Foothill down by Carlo Place, Landers.
I have
it wrong. I am not absolutely certain of it, but I believe that William Spring lived about where Landry's house is now. It was an old cellar there. Mother Pete, when he built his new house, built right on the old cellar hole or not, I'm not sure. But I remember when I was quite young that there was an old house attached to Judge Berry's barn. And I assumed that that was the old Spring house. But I'm not sure. I'm just assuming it.
You've never heard it called Springdale?
No.
And what is the name of the hill? I should know, but right now I can't think. The name of the hill by your place?
Lane.
Lane Hill. Yes. Have you heard of Lane Hill?
What?
Lane Hill.
No. I never knew of any bill being passed to any of the names.
Well, in the chapter.
No, but I have to keep
it. They have a map there that mentions the early settlers of Alexander Trump in Lane Hill.
You know what it is.
Could have been a name that they applied to.
And I wonder why that hill is called Lane Hill. That's why I
take night. I know that brook down there, just west of the motel, State Coast Motel, the Lane Brook.
Were there lanes that lived there at what time?
I never seen any record of them, but I assume there must have been.
That's my hill.
Well, here's a list of the people that lived on Breakneck in 1895. Carol, Aaron, Ellen, Mary, and Maud.
I won't copy. I'll take your book if you'll let me use lonesome
sometimes. And the next one is Carter, James, Annie, William, Lawrence, and Sarah.
The next is a woman you know.
Keen, Robert, Ella, and Clara.
Now, they would be related to Edith Hatfield.
Edith Hatfield,
the
king. Edith Hatfield's related to me.
Yeah. Oh, is she?
Closer than you'd think. Brynan, Frederick, Edith, Bertha, Flora. Now, Flora was Vern Sesame's wife. You remember Vern.
Now, Hazel. Flora and Edith were cousins, weren't they? Laura
Perkins
and Edith were old cousins.
Then Edith's mother, Keen, was she? Well, those are the ones that have done right now.
Yes, I know. I was talking with Bill Hatfield, and Bill Hatfield said that his family
tried to get back. Alexa Keeney. Luke and Martha Stevenson lived there. Not in the house, of course, but in where? Doris Clark is living.
Cohen's wife made it.
Raymond's daughter.
I named a hard book.
I know that he died.
Now, Luke Stevens, do you have anything on Luke Stevens?
Before time, he's been dead for 16 years.
That whole apartment is all
that. That was a Jeff Stevenson place? Well, what was the old homestead there? That was Stevens.
Claire Hatfield's.
Was that Stevenson? That was Stevenson, yeah. Are they the Hatfield place? Yep. I never knew
that. I know it was a dwelling place, but I never knew that it was so.
Oh,
by God. Yeah. Well,
you can give me a
bar. I'm going to take a trip to the doctor. How is it?
When?
Delicious. When is it? Oh, Ellie, let's plan on it and go to the archives.
Who's bringing it?
And go to the library.
I've eaten a piece of chocolate cake.
I should have come to you.
And one of your cynically sweet
book picks made up because you could have given me so much more information.
Well, now we know. Now we know where it all is.
Luke Stevenson was married the 29th day of June, 1850.
Luke Stevenson's place was where Doris Budd is now, but not the house.
The house burned. You must have been here when that house burned, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And the gentleman performing the marriage ceremony was William Spring.
Where did this information come from?
Newspaper clippings.
Good.
And you've been keeping them all these years?
Well, four generations of us have been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wonderful.
Yes, indeed.
Isn't that wonderful?
I think it's wonderful.
Your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather.
You don't realize.
No, the women all except me.
Oh.
My great grandmother started out keeping those things back. Oh, golly. I wouldn't know how long ago, but I can. Well, yeah.
Figure it out.
1870, I'll go back that far.
He said the women in his family kept the records until his generation.
Good for the women.
Well, good for him for breaking the sexual bond. Ananiah.
That was printed in 1870.
Now, there's a great name, Ananiah.
Wonderful.
Right out of the Old Testament.
Lloyd suggested that we make a collection of all the names, you know, that of the one area.
Yep.
Because in different areas, people chose different names. And I've come across a couple I've never heard anywhere else, and I think they're really, really nice. I like them.
There's one right down that piece of Ellen's reading now that I never heard before.
The first, do you want me to read it?
I don't care, Ken, if you want to.
The first trees, this is from a 1935 Callas advertiser?
Yeah, the original piece was dated 1871, the old time news, 1870. Or was it?
Was
I'm pretty
name?
Sure that was.
But Bohannon, are there any more Bohannons around?
This Addie Bohannon was a granddaughter of Ananiah. I got 1870 Alexander Maine, and then this is 1935 reprint.
Bohannon?
Ananiah.
Oh, Ananiah is A-N-N-A-N-I-A-H. Actually, I'm not sure there's two. It's, I think it's one N. It should be A-N-A-N-I-A-H.
Bailey is
here. Isn't it, Ellen? I have the
it's spelled.
It's from the grain
stone. Dr. Bailey uses two N's.
Is that
Dr. Bailey uses two N's?
Oh, he does. Now, the newspaper has one, and you have two.
The Bohannon part of it. With two N's and some of it, and then they changed it.
Oh, I was talking about Ananiah having one N.
The first trees felled and the first clearing made in township number 16, now Alexander, was in the summer of 1810 by William Connie and Solomon Perkins on the farm now occupied by John Gooch. During the year 1811, Ananiah Bohannon, William D. Crockett, Eliab Spring, is that the way you pronounce that, or Eliab?
You take it any way you want.
And others settled in different parts of the township. The first white woman who came into the plantation was Mrs. Samuel Cottle in the year 1813. The same year, four families came from Machias and settled on Breakneck Hill, so called.
Oh, that's wonderful. You say that because Aubrey has stuck to it, that they came from Machias.
Could I type that up?
Aubrey has stuck to it, that both settlers came from Alexander, from Machias. I've never heard of it.
Finish your order.
Good.
I don't have any monopoly on that.
Well, would you mind leaving it behind, and I'll see that you get it back tomorrow? I wouldn't blame you if you would.
You may have to snowshoe out.
I you promise you don't go the same way my Washington County name book went.
Well, I wouldn't blame you. Just say no. Just say no to me.
No.
wouldn't let you do it. I wouldn't let anyone do it if I had it.
The first schools were taught in 1822, one in a log house built for the purpose near Mr. Scribner's. Mr. Brasto being teacher. The other in a log house on Burnt Barn Hill.
Well, I'll leave. It'll take you only 2 minutes.
Where's Burnt Barn Hill?
You know where Elby Carter lives?
Uh-huh.
They're right across the road.
Is it still called Burnt Barn Hill?
Yeah. Right this side of his house, there's a road going up towards Breakneck. Burnt Barn Hill is just up there, half a mile from the road.
Mm. Red Barn Hill.
Burnt, B-U-R-N-T.
That's what the school was there then.
Mm-hmm.
The first child born was Freeman T. Fenlison. And the first death was Mrs.
Sure
Mary.
We weren't sure it was going to be the first child, actually. You know, the first child on record.
Right.
But this sounds like she really was.
Oh, I hear it is Ananiah is back to two ends, just the way you have it. Then there is an obituary of Addie Ella Bohannon. Is that the same year, 1935, do you think?
This is the granddaughter of the family.
What year was that?
No, but I mean this clipping. Is there both, are they both 1935?
Oh, no. I don't know when Eddie died. Was he, I don't think he said
there's
that.
No,
no date on it. I don't think.
But the age of the paper looks approximately the same.
I don't know what year she died, but it was probably in the 1930s or 40s. 30s, more than likely.
Well, Wheeler's Garage was still existing in Milltown, Maine. And Dr. True's Elixir. In Pennsylvania, this is a note on the bottom of the page, on the opposite page. In Pennsylvania, it is contrary by law to discharge a gun, cannon, revolver, or other explosive weapon at a wedding.
Wonderful.
Oh, good. Dr.
Have Bailey
to take
used, spelling the Bohannon name, used B-O-H-A-N-N-O-N.
Two N's in Bohannon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's
interesting.
In one place, and then he speaks about a brother, and he only used one N.
Huh.
So apparently someone used two and someone used one.
They were very free with name spellings, weren't they?
I noticed in this book he says that he used a name spelling as the people had used it. So to decide which one was correct.
Pliny, are you named after the Latin poet?
Yes.
Was that something that your parents did, or your brothers and sisters have names like that?
No. I don't know why they gave it to me.
They
That's
must
interesting.
Have studied. They must have studied the
came across
the classics. Is that
mm-hmm.
I have a distant
was
relative.
Was Pliny a poet or a historian or both?
Both. I have a distant relative whose name was Pliny too.
Uh-huh.
You probably heard of him, Pliny Gray.
Yes. Yes, I have.
To your generation or were you named after him?
I wasn't named after him, I don't think. But
I
think it was the poet that I was dictating from.
Hmm.
But
it
could have been anyone.
What is all the John?
That,
are you
John,
John Brown's
Harry.
Wife's name, Allegra. Allegra.
Allegra?
Named after the children's hour. She was the one with the laughing face. Between the dark and the daylight, when the night has begun to
laugh. Yeah.
She was the one coming down the staircase with a laughing face.
Allegra with the laughing
face. And evidently her parent or her mother liked that name so much, she even named her middle name Longfellow after the poet who wrote the poem.
Aww.
And you would assume Longfellow was a family name, but it isn't.
Allegra Longfellow
Brown.
Freeman Putman Emerson, born on June 14, 1814, that's a copy from Mr. Pemberton's record, but at our last meeting.
Is that the same date
that
go along with yours
and May? The first child born was Freeman T. Fenelson. Don't say what day.
No, that's
the first death was Mrs. Mary Young in 1814, so it's in the same paragraph.
That was 9 years before, 11 years before the town of Alexander was incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Well, this information was furnished by Ananiah Bohannon.
Now, you know where Ananias Bohannon is buried?
Yeah.
Over on what was in Mercedes' place.
what was it, the Hammond place, later than McPheeters place.
Was it?
Well, he goes on to say, whoever wrote this piece, and I don't know who it was, the foregoing was communicated to the writer by Mr. Ananiah Bahan, now about 85 years old, who commenced on the farm where he now lives in 1811.
Hmm. Now, 1811, now that could be before Alexander, the Great Neck Mountain was settled, couldn't it be?
Mm.
This is what I'd like
to
ask. According to the records in Augusta,
well, here's what it said. I don't know everything
about that. Alexander, the first settler, settled up around the Four Corner area.
The first tree felled and the first bird was made in township number 16, now Alexander. It was in the summer of 1810, but William Conney and Solomon Thurgood, now they don't say that they built any house at all. On the farm now occupied by John Gooch. During the year 1811, Ananiah Bahannon, William D. Crockett, E-L-I-A-B, however you pronounce it, Spring,